Philippians chapter 4, we'll be looking at two verses there, verses 8 and 9, and then 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. As we think about how to defeat the cunning devices, the schemes of Satan, and have the ability to overcome wrong thinking. And there's a whole lot of wrong thinking going on in our society today. We find ourselves in a constant battle. In fact, S. E. Kaiser some years ago wrote a little poem called The Fighter. Listen to it. I fight a battle every day against discouragement and fear. Some foe stands always in my way. The path ahead is never clear. I must forever be on guard against the doubts that skulk along. I get ahead by fighting hard, but fighting keeps my spirit strong. I hear the croakings of despair, the dark predictions of the weak. I find myself pursued by care, no matter what the end I seek. My victories are small and few. Matters not how hard I strive. Each day the fight begins anew, but fighting keeps my hopes alive. My dreams are spoiled by circumstance. My plans are wrecked by fate or luck. Some hour perhaps will bring my chance, but that great hour has never struck. My progress has been slow and hard. I've had to climb and crawl and swim, fighting for every stubborn yard, but I have kept in fighting trim. I have to fight my doubts away and be on guard against my fears. The feeble croaking of dismay has been familiar through the years. My dearest plans keep going wrong. Events combine to thwart my will. Fighting keeps my spirit strong, and I'm undefeated still. I submit to you that there's a way to fight that's a little better than what this guy seemed to have. Rely too much on self, and we need to rely more on Almighty God. And we need to learn to fight against what the devil is trying to do and take away our joy, take away our faith, our witness, take away our very lifestyle. Paul tells us this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, as we think about how to overcome wrong thinking. He says, find the brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. The God of peace will be with you. Then in 1 John 3:8, 1 John says in that latter part of that verse that the Son of God appeared for this very purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And part of the works of the devil is to try to control our thinking and our minds and our hearts. We're seeing all sorts of conflict going on in our world today, nation against nation, political party against political party, division among families, and sadly, many times division even among our churches. But I submit to you that one of the greatest conflicts you and I face, and one that we must win, is the battle for our brain, for our thinking processes. If we can win this battle, I believe most, if not all, the other battles can be settled in an amicable fashion. Satan is on a rampage to control the minds and the hearts of people. And it seems as if he is winning when we look at what's going on in our culture. But I want to tell you something, folks. Satan is a defeated foe. We must never forget that. When we see what's happening with the cancel culture that refuses to hear on the one side of an issue, and if you do not agree with their viewpoint, they'll do everything they can to shut you up. We're seeing a philosophy at work that is wreaking havoc on our society and in our culture. It's called socialism. That is in reality Marxist doctrine that is anti-God and hates Christianity. It is divisive, it's ugly, and it's hateful. This movement has captured the environment of many of our colleges and universities and is now invading our public schools, going so far as to say that parents have no right to have a say in what the children are being taught. And most alarming is the move to indoctrinate students in cultural and gender issues and taking these important issues out of the control of parents. We're in a spiritual battle. We need to understand that. That is more vicious, more open, and more dangerous than we've ever experienced in our lifetime. And one of the things we make the mistake, we begin to fight against individuals, against people. Folks, listen. The enemy behind all of this is Satan. That's the one we need to be doing battle with. And we need to be praying for one another. Dr. Jerry Vine said this, it's important to acquaint yourself with any subject in the Word of God, but there's a danger in spending more time thinking and talking about the devil than about Jesus. Christians ought to rivet their minds and hearts on the Lord, that every thought be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. The Bible also tells us in Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. I don't want to give undue emphasis to the subject of the devil, but I do want to attempt to deal with it as it's dealt with in the Word of God. If we're going to be victorious in this battle for the mind and overcome wrong thinking, we need to understand who is behind what is going on in our land and how he operates. So let's look at it. First of all, we need to deal with what many people fail to acknowledge, and that is the reality of the devil. Many try to deny the reality of the personification of evil. But if one accepts the scriptures as revelation from God, then the reality of Satan cannot be denied. He did not evolve as a personal being. He existed and acted from the earliest to the last books of God's creation, God's revelation. Seven Old Testament books teach the reality of Satan. Genesis, 1 Chronicles, and Job, and Psalms, and Isaiah, and Ezekiel, and Zechariah. In fact, every writer in the New Testament affirms the devil's existence and his activity. In 25 of the 29 passages in the Gospels which speak of the devil, our Lord himself is speaking. There is ample evidence in the Bible and from experience that confirm the devil's reality. You might be asking, where in the world did he come from? Listen, the Bible does not try to prove his identity. It assumes that an actual personality known as the devil exists. Talks about him quite frequently in the Word of God. But we see that he is a created being according to the Bible. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19. I know in this passage, an unusual passage, seems to be talking about the king of Tyre. But there are some descriptions that are given in this passage that cannot fit any earthly human being. Listen to it. He says, son of man, take up a lamentation of the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settees and sockets. And by the way, another translation of settees and sockets is tambourines and flutes. They were in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were in the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways until the day you were created, from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you are internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I've cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you. And I've turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will cease to be forever. Quite a description of a created being. The primary reference is to the king of Tyrus, but we cannot avoid the conclusion that a more sinister being is intended. There are some things are said that do not apply to a human king. In verses 13 and 15, of the Ezekiel passage. He says he was a created being. Verse 14 calls him the anointed cherub. Cherub seems to have been the highest order of angelic beings in heaven. He had a specific purpose. He is the anointed cherub that covers. In other words, he was a guard. He was set aside for the specific purpose of guarding access to the throne were cherubs. Verse 13, we think about the Garden of Eden, but it's different here. This is talking about a mineral kingdom, but it's talking about precious stones. In Genesis, the Garden of Eden talks about plant life. Satan was a dazzling being. Notice something else in verse 13 that I read. It talks about the tambourines and the pipes or the flutes I mentioned. These are musical instruments. In Isaiah 14, vials are mentioned. Every kind of musical instrument is mentioned in relation to the devil. So I believe he was heaven's music angel assigned to lead the heavenly choirs in the precise praise and adoration of Almighty God. He was lifted up. He was proud, a proud being. Dr. Charles Ryrie says, in every way, Satan was the epitome of God's creation. D.G. Bosch said this, he awoke in the first moment of his existence in the full orbed beauty and power of his exalted position, surrounded by all the magnificence which God gave him. He saw himself as above all the host in power, wisdom, and beauty. Only at the throne of God itself did he see more than he himself possessed. And it is possible that even that was in some way, some sense, not fully visible to the eyes of the creature. Before his fall, he may be said to have aspired to occupy the role of prime minister for God, ruling possibly over the universe, but certainly over the world. Quite a description of this being. So not only is he a created being, he's a corrupted being according to the Bible. Ezekiel 28:15 talks about him being blameless until unrighteousness was found in him. In verse 17, these verses indicate that the devil fell and became corrupted for a particular reason. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, helps us to understand his thinking and what characterized him, and why it's so crucial that we have right thinking instead of wrong thinking. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah, how he describes it. How you are fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You've been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this one who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? Quite a description of Satan himself. Notice what happened in the I will phrases that Isaiah prophesied. He said, I will ascend to heaven. In other words, I'm going to occupy and settle in heaven on a co-equality with God. I will raise my throne above the stars. He wished to rule in heaven. I will sit on the mount. He had an ambition to govern the universe. I will ascend above the heights. He wanted the glory that belonged to Almighty God. I will be like the Most High. Here his counterfeit is crystal clear. He wanted to be like, not unlike, God. He wanted to exercise the authority and control in this world that rightfully belongs to Almighty God. To quote Charles Ryrie again, I quote, Satan's sin was all the more heinous because of the great privileges, intelligence, and position he had. His sin was also more damaging because of the widespread effects of it. It affected other angels, all people. It positioned him as the ruler of the world. It affects all the nations of the world for the works that are attributed to him to deceive the nations of the world. The Word of God teaches us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18. That is so true today. The moment you and I allow pride to come into our hearts, at that moment God says you're headed for a fall, so we need to be careful. There's a lot of pride in our country today that's wrong kind of pride. So what is true in your life and in my life is true of the devil. The devil said, I'm going up. God said, no, you're going down. The devil fell because of the sin of pride. He was proud of his beauty and his brightness. So he sought to revolt against God himself, to thrust God from the throne of the universe. The Bible says that God cast the devil out of heaven. Isaiah 14:15 declares, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Our Savior makes mention of this in Luke 10:18 when he declared, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." You've heard it said time and time again. The Bible teaches that Satan has been cast out to the earth having great wrath because he knows that his time is short. He's on his last rampage, I believe, before Jesus calls his church home. We are given indication in other verses in Revelation 12:4 and Jude 6 that the devil carried with him a whole host of angels. And there is in the world a vast unseen horde of demons, devil angels if you please, who do the bidding of the devil. He was cast out of heaven as a rebel, and he took others with him. When the devil was cast out of heaven, Isaiah 14:17 indicates he was cast into the earth that has made the world as a wilderness. He has wreaked havoc and still doing and having great success in people's lives today. But he is a condemned being. God has pronounced his condemnation of the devil and declared that eventually he'll be cast into hell. The devil does not have a certain, he does have a certain authority, but it is temporary. Judgment has been declared. Genesis 3:15 contains the first gospel message ever preached. It's called the gospel before the gospel, where in that talks about the seed of the woman shall bruise his head, talking about Satan, and you shall bruise his heel. Listen, Jesus' heel was bruised on Calvary's cross, but you can get well, and Jesus got well when he was bruised on the cross. He faced death, hell, and the grave and rose victorious over all three. But I want to tell you something. The devil's not going to get well from his bruised head. He is a condemned being. But since that time, there's been hostility and animosity between the devil and God. We need to understand something. Satan's power is not eternal. He will meet his doom. He'll be cast into the lake of fire according to Revelation 20:10. And will be tormented day and night forever and ever. But make no mistake about it, in this world today in which you and I are living, Satan is real. He's a real being. But what about his activity? What about the activity of the devil? We need to understand how he operates. Ephesians 6:11 warns us to be aware of the wiles of the devil, the cunning schemes, the cunning devices of the devil. 2 Corinthians 2:11 warned of the devices of the devil as well. 2 Timothy 2:26 teaches us that the devil has snares or traps. 1 Peter 5:8 declares, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." We need to understand that we are in a spiritual battle on a daily basis. God wants the truth to get possession of our minds. God's truth is real, and we need to absorb it. And if we absorb God's truth, make it a part of our lives, and practice it daily, then our lives will be different. But you see, the devil tries to get control of our minds by the invasion of error. John 8:44 tells us he is a liar and the father of liars. There's no truth in him. Every time he speaks, it's a lie. If he can get us to believe a lie, he has gone a long way toward wrecking our lives. Proverbs 29:12 warns us, if a ruler pays attention to lies, all of his servants become wicked. The devil attacks us mentally, trying to confuse us, trying to control our thought processes, trying to lead us astray, trying to get us to turn aside from the Word of God. He wants our mind, and he seeks to destroy our minds through error. John 17:17 reminds us, "Thy word is truth." We need to make it a part of our lives. We need to believe it to be right. Practice it to be saved. Embrace it to be true to Almighty God. God wants the truth to get possession of our minds, to absorb it. The devil tries to get control of our minds by the invasion of error. John 8:44 talks about what a liar he really is. He attacks us mentally. We must refuse to live by lies and always remain true to our calling as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, true to the Word of God, true to the faith handed down to us down through the years. In our study 2 weeks ago with socialism, Dr. Jeremiah talks about it, and a guy that I've read quite a bit down through the years, some of his writings is Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was a Russian dissident, who ended up spending quite a few years in the archipelago in prison for his faith and for his concern about what was going on in Russia. He finally was let out of prison, came to the States for a while, and went back to Russia, and he wrote a book. And he warned the Russian people, and they need to hear what he said even today, because they're being fed a bunch of lies today about what's going on in Ukraine. And he's feeding people in America a bunch of lies today. Listen to what Solzhenitsyn said we must not do if we're to remain faithful to the truth. We must not say, write, affirm, or distribute anything that distorts the truth. We must not go to a demonstration or participate in a collective action unless we truly believe the cause. We must not take part in a meeting in which the discussion is forced and no one can speak the truth. This sounds familiar, what's going on in this country. We must not vote for a candidate or proposal we consider to be dubious or unworthy. We must not support journalism that distorts or hides the underlying facts. What's happening in our country? Socialism is afraid of the truth. Why? Because the truth will make you free. So they don't want the truth to get out. And so what we're seeing in much of our news media today is quite different than it was 40, 50 years ago when they reported the facts about a matter. And now, not only are many of them not reporting the facts, they in fact, they're hiding the facts about some other issues that are important to the ongoing nature of who we are as a people. We need the whole truth. This is what he did in the Garden of Eden. Think about it. God had given the truth to Adam and Eve, and the devil came with his lies. And he tries to distort the truth. He's very sinister in what he does. He's active, and he's versatile. Maybe you heard the story about the young minister in his first pastorate was upset when his wife bought an expensive new dress. Honey, he said, in desperation, why did you do it? You know we can't afford it. She replied meekly, honey, I guess it was the devil tempting me. Then why, he asked, didn't you say, get thee behind me, Satan? I did, she said. And then he whispered over my shoulder, it fits you perfectly in the back too. That's some of the schemes of the devil. He can twist and cajole and turn things around in our lives, turns the truth around. What did he do with Eve? He caused her, first of all, to doubt the Word of God. He's not changed that tactic. If he can get you and me to doubt the Word of God, compromise follows. Many people who profess to be believers have compromised our faith in Jesus Christ. Many churches have also swallowed the devil's lies, raising doubts in people's minds about the Word of God. They have undercutting the source of authority. Many people today are being taught that there's no absolute right or wrong, no absolute truth, no absolute error. So it doesn't matter how you live anyway, and it'll be all right. That's the way we are. That's why we're in the mess we're in today. Because we've distorted what is right. Look what happened to our court system in this land. But those who violate the law rarely have been given a slap on the wrist and turned loose. That's not the rule of law in this land. It's based on facts and truth. Not only did the devil start with causing Eve to doubt the Word of God, he's still doing it today. The next step is to deny God's Word. Eve rejected the truth of God in her mind. She accepted the devil's error. When she did, sin came into her life, brought her into mental slavery. That's the way he operates. He sows the seeds of doubt and denial in your mind. That is why we must be so careful of what we allow into our minds. Whether it's through TV, through movies, through music, much of it is an all-out assault on biblical principles. One of the great things that's taking place in this country today is us trying to destroy the nuclear family. Folks, listen, the family was initiated by Almighty God even before the church was brought into being. It's the primary unit of our culture. And if the family is destroyed, then this country is ruined. It's completely lost. And they're trying to destroy the nuclear family, saying some awful things about family, trying to destroy government that's based on the principles of the Word of God, and trying to destroy any hope that we have in God Himself. One of the great battles today is also gender issues that is creating confusion in the minds of children as young as kindergarten and first grade. Nothing less than a denial of the creative genius of Almighty God who created us male and female. Folks, that's the end of the story. It's who we are, male and female. And to attack that is to attack God Himself, who He is as our Creator and Redeemer and Sustainer. Is it any wonder with what's going on in our culture today that young people are so mixed up? Satan attacks us mentally. It's exactly what he's doing. He also attacks us morally. You see, the devil wants our heart. He wants to control our minds. If he can control our hearts and our minds, he can control our morals as well. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The devil knows this. He wants to make us love things we ought to hate and hate things we ought to love. But our hearts are made for Jesus Christ. There's a void inside that only God by His Spirit can rightly fill and replace this confusion and doubt and lostness with joy and peace and hope and salvation. His name is Jesus. You see, the devil, however, wants to replace the love of Jesus with the love of sin. He does make sin attractive and appealing. He uses the pleasures of sin for a season to enslave people. If he can cause us to love sin, can get his foothold in our hearts, and before long he will have us in moral slavery. But not only does he attack us mentally and morally, he attacks us motivationally as well. He wants to control our wills. He has a plan for us just as God does. He lays a trap for us to bring our will in subjection to his will. For this reason, all sin is addictive. It's habit-forming. Whether it's alcohol or drugs or adultery or greed or lust for power or lying, all of these will drive a person to destruction and ruin a life. When you start playing loose with your morals, you start playing loose with things that God says ought to be sacred and pure and holy, sin will possess that individual. James chapter 14 and verse 15 reminds us of something. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, brings forth death. You see, the devil wants to enslave us, to control our lives. All of us know what it is to be deceived. Credit card offers arrive in the mail, luring us with the words, "Congratulations," printed on the front. We're told that because of our good credit and because we pay our monthly payments, we can have higher limits, gold membership, or preferred customer status. We can feel special because we have a different color card. We're in a higher class of people who matter. We can spend to our heart's content. What we don't hear is that we will be paying these credit card companies for the rest of our lives. They don't tell us that they're going to own us. They don't tell us that the credit card costs us much more than what we get out of the deal. They don't tell us that they want more than payback. They want interest payments. And they always cost more. Sin is like that. Cost us more than we want to pay, keep us longer than we want to stay. And carry us where we don't want to go. That's what sin does. So many people are easily deceived by Satan. Listen, the purpose of the devil is to take possession of your life, make you believe his lies, love sin, and capture your will. He'll tell you the Bible is old, that it's outdated, it's just another book. No, it's not. It's God's word to you and me. It's his love letter to you and me. It is truth without any mixture of error. It's the divinely inspired, authoritative, inerrant word to you and me. It's a guidebook of faith and practice. We need to believe it and embrace it and practice it if we want joy and victory in our lives. We need to understand something. We can have victory over the devil. That's why 1 John 3:8 tells us that for this reason, Jesus Christ appeared to destroy the works of the devil. The victory over the devil was begun by the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. At his birth, the devil tried to kill him. In the temptation event in Matthew chapter 4, the devil tried to take over Jesus mentally, morally, and motivationally, tempting him, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And Jesus responded in his humanity. How did he do it? What did he say? It is written, it is written, it is written. He quoted the word of God. Why in the world did he do that? As God, a very God, he could have spoken the word and cast Satan to the backside of the bottomless pit. But he quoted the word of God, leaving you an example so that we can do the same thing. So when the devil tempts our way, tempting us, we just need to send the word of God to the door of the temptation of our heart. Send Jesus to the door when he comes knocking. And when any temptation comes, God will bring a verse of scripture to our minds. That's why we need to be saturated day by day with the word of God. One day the Lord went up to Calvary Road, to Calvary's Hill, and found decisive battle over all the forces of evil that day. They thought they had killed the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was poured out. His body was placed in a borrowed tomb. But Colossians 2:15 reminds us on that day that having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against you and me, which was hostile to us, he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, there were hostile forces against our Lord that day, malicious and malignant to you and me, but Jesus conquered them forever. He stripped them. The word that is used is the word for stripping the weapons and the armor from a defeated foe. Once and for all, Jesus broke their power. He put them to open shame and led them captive in his triumphal train. The picture is the picture of the triumph of a Roman general. When a Roman general had won a really wonderful, notable triumph, he was allowed to march his victorious armies through the streets of Rome. And behind him, there followed the wretched company of the kings and the leaders and the peoples he had vanquished and conquered. They were openly branded as his victims and his spoils. The Apostle Paul thinks of Jesus as a triumphant conqueror, enjoying a kind of cosmic triumph, and in his triumphal possession are the powers of evil beaten forever and for everyone to see. That's you and me. Here in these vivid pictures, Paul sets out the moral adequacy of the work of Christ. Sin is forgiven. Evil is conquered. What more is necessary for you and me, folks? We serve a risen Savior who's in the world today. A Savior that's victorious over death, hell, and the grave, who defeated sin and gave us victory through his death and resurrection. Listen, the victory is for you and me. It's continued in our lives as we live the victorious Christian life. Romans 16:20 declared, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." We can have him trampled underfoot. You think about that. I don't know about you, but I like that. We can trample on it by the word of God, simply quoting God's word. The Bible tells us in James that submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. We must, when we submit to God and we have the word of God and we can quote the word of God, the devil has to leave. He has to go. He can't stay. He can't handle God's word. So when temptation comes, we have two choices. We can give place to the devil, according to Ephesians 4:27, or we can resist him, James 4:7. If you resist, God says he'll flee from you. You can resist on the basis of Revelation 12:11 that declares they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Listen, the devil knows he's lost, he's a goner, but he just refuses to admit it. He's never been to hell. But one of these days, God's going to cast him into hell according to Revelation 20:10. And I believe that's why we read in Revelation 12:12 that on this earth he has great wrath because he has only a short time. He knows his days are numbered. And boy, is he wreaking havoc today in our world. And we need to understand something. The devil wants to drag you and me down with him. He wants to control your mind. He can warp your thinking about God. warp your thinking about God's word, warp your thinking about sin and salvation and the importance of the church, then it can cause you to compromise your beliefs, control your actions, and ruin your life, make you a stumbling block instead of a stepping stone. It wants to take away your freedom and make you a slave to sin out of your life. All these ugly isms are one day going to be history, and our Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign forever and ever. Listen, we ought to obey God rather than men. It's time for us to live by convictions and not by convenience. And we must remember that the battle is the Lord's, and the truth cannot be intimidated because there's victory in Jesus. It's ours. We just need to embrace it and believe it. Someone said that a belief is what you hold, but a conviction is that which holds you. We need to have some convictions about God and His Word, about sin and salvation in God's church. And facing what we are facing in these days, there's ever a time when we need people who are convicted about God and His Word. It is today. We need to hold fast to what God has shown us. Now listen, I realize it's easy to blame our sins on the devil. But James reminds us that each one is enticed and tempted. We are tempted. He is sinister. He is wicked. He is deceitful. He can lead us astray. But listen, we are created in the image of Almighty God with mind, emotion, and will. God has given us the ability to choose. So what we need to learn to do is to choose Jesus instead of the ways of the world and Satan. Why? Who loves us? Jesus. Who died for us on the cross? Jesus. Who rose again that we might have victory over death, hell, and the grave? Jesus. Who ascended back to the right hand of God the Father and there is interceding in our behalf today? Jesus. Who's coming again one day to take us home to Himself? It's Jesus, not Satan. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't let Him pollute your mind. Rely upon God's Word and His daily presence as we walk with Him. There is victory in Jesus. Oh, we sing that song, such a wonderful song. Heard an old story, how Savior came from glory. He gave His life on Calvary. Save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, the precious blood's atoning. And what did He do? One day, we'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, for how long? Forever. He sought me and bought me with His cleansing power. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory through His cleansing blood, Jesus. That's what we need to be listening to. His Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you listening to today? Oh, the devil will try to discourage you, defeat you, destroy you, disrupt your life, say it's unreal. You don't have to listen to it. Like a little boy who got saved and got home, and that night, and the devil kept whispering to him. He kept a voice coming from under the bed, not real. The Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, little boy quoted. You remember that? The devil said, oh, you just had an emotional time. Oh, the Bible says the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. The devil kept after him. Finally, little boy opened his Bible and slid it under the bed. He said, this is what God's Word said. This is the Bible that says God's blood, Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin. So you read it for yourself. I'm going to sleep. That's what we need to do, folks. Amen. Rely upon God's Word. Don't listen to the voices of the world. Listen to what God says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We're going to sing 564 more about Jesus. Do you need to know more about Him? Have you been listening to some wrong voices and you're living in a spirit of defeat and discouragement and doubt and fear? You don't have to. We don't have to, because we have victory in Jesus. We just need to learn more about Him. We need to turn to Him, listen to His voice, not the voice of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Listen to Jesus. Let Him speak. Learn more about Him. He'll bless your heart and bless your life. Give you a peace that passes all understanding. He'll save your soul. give you a life worth living and an eternal home in heaven, but you must respond to his great love. Would you do that today? We stand and sing. 564, More About Jesus.